Hello, my name is Mahendra Gupte. Let's look at Chapter 7, Sale of Goods and Contracts under the legal aspects of supply chain in supply chain management. The Sales of Goods Act of 1930 is what we will be studying and see what all is covered under that. The Sale of Goods Act 1930 governs the sale of goods codified separately from Sections 76 to 123 of the Indian Contract Act of 1872. Let's look at some key definitions. Buyer includes both actual and willing buyers. Delivery, transfer of possession of goods voluntarily. Goods, movable property excluding money or actionable claims. Specific goods, goods identified at the time of sale as opposed to ascertained goods. Let's just quickly go back and see it from the starting. The Sale of Goods Act 1930 governs the sale of goods codified separately from Section 76 to 123 of the Indian Contract Act of 1872. Let's look at some key definitions. Buyer. Buyer includes both actual and willing buyers. Delivery. Transfer of possession of goods voluntary, which means that the ownership changes of the goods. And it is not under any coercion or any force, but done voluntarily. Goods, movable property excluding money or actionable claims. And specific goods, goods which have been identified at the time of sale as opposed to unascertained goods. Contract of sale. Section 4 defines a sale as the transfer of ownership executed contract. A future or conditional sale is an agreement to sell, executory contract. Absolute versus conditional sale. An absolute sale transfers ownership. A conditional sale retains ownership with the seller. Contract of sale. Under Section 4, it is defined as a sale is defined as the transfer of ownership. That means the contract has been executed. A future or conditional sale is an agreement to sell. That means it is known, and that is why it is known as the executory contract. Absolute versus conditional sale. An absolute sale transfers ownership. A conditional sale retains ownership with the seller. Sale versus agreement to sell. Ownership. Sale transfers ownership. Agreement to sell does not. Non-payment. In sale, seller sues for payment. In agreement, seller claims damages. Breach. In sale, buyer sues. In agreement, buyer claims damages. Destruction. Seller is liable in agreement to sell. Buyer is liable in sale. Okay, let's understand this right from the beginning. Ownership. Let's look at the differences between sale and agreement to sell. What happens for ownership? For ownership, the sale transfers the ownership, but an agreement to sell does not. Non-payment. In a sale, seller sues for payment if he is not paid. In agreement, the seller claims damages. Breach. In a sale contract, the buyer sues. In agreement, the buyer claims damages. Destruction. Seller is liable in agreement to sell, but a buyer is liable in a sale. Contracts. What are the formalities of the contract? Requirements can be verbal, written, or implied by conduct. Offer and acceptance involves offer, acceptance, and an agreement on delivery, payment terms. Government statutory corporations must be formalized with a seal. What are the formalities of the contract? Requirements can be verbal, written, or implied by conduct. Offer and acceptance involves offer, acceptance, and agreement on delivery and payment terms. Where if a government or a statutory corporation is involved, it must be formalized with the seal. The Constitution Bench ruled that the sale of goods involves several components: exchange of money, delivery of goods, and transfer of title. the sale is not complete until the buyer becomes the legal owner. Subject matter of a contract: existing or future goods. Section 6 states, goods can be existing, future or contingent based on acquisition. Goods perishing before contract. Section 7. Contract is void if goods perish before agreement without seller's knowledge. Goods perishing before sale. Section 8. If goods perish after agreement but before risk passes, the contract is affected. Conditions and warranties. Section 14 to 17 address implied conditions and warranties in the Sale of Goods Act. Let's look at the subject matter of a contract. Existing or future goods. Goods can be existing, future or contingent based on acquisition. Goods perishing before contract, which means that the contract is void if the goods have perished before agreement without the seller's knowledge. That means the seller, when he is getting into a contract, if he is not aware that his goods have perished, the contract is void. Goods perishing before sale. So if goods perish after the agreement has been signed but before the risk passes, the contract is affected, which means the contract can be gone through. Conditions and warranties. Address implied conditions and warranties in the Sale of the Goods Act. What are implied conditions? Title, Section 14. Seller must have the right to sell and transfer title. Sales by description. Goods must match the description. Quality fitness. Goods must be fit for purpose even if the seller isn't the manufacturer. So what are the implied conditions? Let's understand. Title under Section 14 says that a seller must have the right to sell and transfer the title. Sales by description. Whenever there are items where there are no part numbers or unique identifying characteristics, then Section 15 says that goods must match the description. Quality or fitness. Section 16 says that goods must be fit for purpose even if the seller isn't the manufacturer. So what in this case, if the seller is the distributor or a dealer, he is not excused of his responsibility of goodness of goods being fit for the purpose that they are being sold. Implied conditions. Merchantable quality. Section 16, subsection 2 says, goods must be of merchantable quality when sold by description. Sale by sample, goods must match the approved sample. What does this mean? Goods must be merchantable, of merchantable quality when sold by description. So this implies that just because the items are being sold by description, there cannot be a compromise on the quality. The quality has to be a minimum of merchantable quality. Sale by sample, when the items are being sold with respect to a sample being made or copied, then the goods must match the approved sample. So what happens here is the buyer gives a sample to the seller. The seller matches the sample with the goods that he has available or gives it to the manufacturer behind and gets their item made. Now once the item is made or he finds a suitable equivalent, he gives it back to the buyer and the buyer approves that sample. Now this approved sample is the reference point when the further lot is being sold as per sample. Implied warranties. Quiet position. Possession. Buyer is entitled to undisturbed possession. Seller compensates if breached. Free from encumbrances. Seller ensures goods are free from charges, compensates if breached. Quiet possession, let's understand what this means. Buyer is entitled to undisturbed possession. Seller compensates if breached, which means that the buyer, when he has stood by his part of the agreement, of his part of the contract, then he must get the possession of goods without following up, without any disturbances. If the seller is not able to meet this requirement, he needs to compensate. Free from encumbrances, which means seller ensures goods are free from any charges or any other title holdings by anybody else. If this is not true, then the seller will have to compensate. Conditions and warranties. Expressed conditions and warranties. Expressed conditions, agreed clauses essential for the contract. Expressed warranties, warranties agreed upon by both parties. Effects of the contract. Transfer of property between seller and buyer. Transfer of property in the sale of specific or ascertained goods. Let's understand the conditions and warranties. Expressed conditions and warranties. What is expressed conditions? Agreed clauses essential for the contract, which means that when the contract has been signed, there are certain clauses which are mutually agreed to and are part of the contract and are important for the contract, because without them the contract would not stand at all. Expressed warranties. Warranties agreed upon by both parties, which means that let's say the seller warranties that in case if something goes wrong with the product, he would stand to replace it or get it repaired, whatever is the agreed warranty between the two parties. Effects of the contract. Transfer of property between seller and buyer. There has to be a transfer of property from the seller to the buyer. The transfer of property in the sale of specific or ascertained goods. So this transfer happens irrespective of whether the sale is of specific or ascertained goods. Section 18 to Section 22, transfer of goods. Section 19 says ownership transfers when both parties intend it. Section 20 says title passes for specific goods in a deliverable state at the agreed time. Section 21 says title passes once the contract is made, regardless of delays in payment or delivery. Let's see what Section 18 to Section 22 cover in terms of transfer of goods. Section 18 says that ownership transfers when both parties intend to do that transfer. Section 20 says title passes for specific goods in a deliverable state at the agreed time. So, which means that the goods, the specific goods we are talking about, are in the deliverable state, that means complete in all respects, and can be transferred at the and it happens at the agreed time. Section 21, the title passes once the contract is made, regardless of delays in payment or delivery, which means that under Section 21, as soon as the contract has been signed, the title of goods has already passed on from the seller to the buyer and is not under the condition of delays or is not affected by the delays in payment or in delivery. Section 22, delivery and transfer of goods. Title does not pass for specific goods in a deliverable state until the seller completes the necessary action, that is weighing, measuring, to determine the price and notifies the buyer. Section 19 to Section 24, title transfer rules. 19 says title transfer when specified in the contract. 23 says title passes when goods are unconditionally appropriated by either the seller or buyer with mutual assent or for contracts involving unascertained or future goods. What does Section 22 tell us? Section 22 covers delivery and transfer of goods. Title does not pass for specific goods in a deliverable state. We just saw earlier that the transfer of the title passes for transfer of specific goods if they are in a deliverable state. But the additional condition here is until the seller completes the necessary action. That means he weighs, measures, or in what does whatever activity is required to determine the price and notifies the buyer. Section 19 to Section 24, title transfer rules. Section 19 says title transfer when specified in the contract. So the title transfers only when as per the what is specified in the contract. Title passes under section 23. Title passes when goods are unconditionally appropriated by either the seller or the buyer with mutual assent, or for contracts involving unascertained or future goods. Let's understand this. Section 23 says a title passes when goods are unconditionally appropriated by either the seller or the buyer with mutual assent, that means mutual agreement, for contracts involving unascertained or future goods, which means that the goods are not specific, or for future sale. Section 12 says condition as essential to the main purpose of the contract. Section 13, sale subject to conditions. Section 14, guidelines to determine if a term is a condition or warranty. Section 15, injured party may waive or treat a breach of condition as a breach of warranty. Section 12 and 13, injured party can treat the contract as repudiated. Conditions and warranties under section 11 to 17 and 62. Conditions from 12 to 15 are condition as essential to the main purpose of the contract, which means what is essential to the main purpose of the contract, that condition needs to be fulfilled. Section 13 says sale is subject to those conditions, which means it is just reinforcing whatever section 12 has specified. Section 14, guidelines to determine if a term is a condition or a warranty. So, section 14 clearly identifies how to identify if the term is a condition or a warranty. Section 15, injured party may waive or treat a breach of condition as a breach of warranty. In spite of guidelines at section 14, section 15 says injured party may waive or treat a breach of condition as a breach of warranty. Section 12 and 13 together, injured party can treat the contract as repudiated, which means that they can consider it to have been cancelled or made invalid. Let's understand warranties a little more in detail. Warranty, when condition to be treated as warranty. The buyer may waive a condition or treat its breach as a warranty breach. If the buyer accepts the goods, any condition breach is treated as a warranty, unless the contract states otherwise. This section does not affect conditions or warranties excused by law. When condition is to be treated as a warranty, the buyer may waive a condition or treat its breach as a warranty breach. So here we are looking at what is the condition that the buyer is looking at for whether it is a condition or he treats it as a warranty. If the buyer accepts the goods, any condition breach is treated as a warranty unless the contract states otherwise. This section does not affect conditions or warranties excused by law. General, these conditions govern the sale and delivery of all products and services collectively referred to as goods. They supersede all prior agreements or communications between the seller and buyer. Electronic communications between the seller and buyer are considered binding and in writing. Let's understand. General, the conditions govern the sale and delivery of all products and services collectively referred to as goods. So goods, when the word goods is used, it may mean products or services. This supersedes all prior agreements or communication between the seller and the buyer. So these general conditions now are superseding all other communication or prior agreements between the buyer and the seller. Electronic communications between the seller and buyer are considered binding and in writing. What this means is that keeping up with technology changes, electronic communications between the supplier and the buyer are considered as binding and they are considered to have been in writing. The agreement is binding. Additional terms are only valid if in writing from the seller. Buyer's acceptance of products, services confirms acceptance of these terms. Changes or waivers must be in writing and signed by both parties. The agreement is binding. Additional terms are only valid if in writing from the seller. So once the agreement is signed, the agreement is considered to be binding. If there are any additional terms and conditions, they are only valid if they are in writing from the seller. Buyer's acceptance of products and services confirms acceptance of these terms, which means these additional terms as put up in addition to the agreement, as we said, are only valid if they are in writing from the seller, and the buyer's acceptance is considered if he accepts the products and services, then these terms are also considered as accepted. Changes or waivers must be in writing and signed by both parties. This is very clear. If there are any changes or waivers to the agreement, then those must be in writing and signed by both parties. Quotations, orders and confirmation. Quotations are not binding unless specified. Changes are only accepted if the buyer delays confirmation. Quotations expire in dash days or as stated. Price changes may apply based on quantity adjustments. Oral communication is only valid if confirmed in writing by both parties. To reduce ambiguity between the sales contracts, what we are looking at is quotations, orders, and confirmation. Quotations are not binding unless they are specified. Changes are only accepted if the buyer delays the confirmation, which means that the seller made a quotation and offered it, but the buyer has taken too long to accept it. Only then are any changes are accepted. Also, the quotations are not binding. That means unless they have been confirmed or accepted by the buyer, they are not valid. Quotations expire in so many days, dash days, or as stated. Normally, all quotations have a validity because of the nature of the products that is being offered for sale or the market conditions that may prevail. Price changes may apply based on quantity adjustments. The seller may offer some adjustments in price in terms of a discount or an additional cost in case if the quantities increase. When the quantities increase, normally a discount is offered, whereas if the quantities reduce, then the specified quantity by the seller, then he may be obliged to increase the price. Oral communication is only valid if confirmed in writing by both parties, which means that for oral communication to be considered as part of the contract or to be considered as valid, only if both the parties agree to it in writing. Samples are for the agreed purpose only, unless confirmed by the seller. Orders are binding only upon seller's written acceptance. Each delivery is a separate transaction for payment after acceptance. Orders cannot be cancelled or rescheduled without seller's written consent. The buyer assumes all risks and charges for cancellations or modifications. Let's further look at quotations, orders and confirmation. What happens to samples? Samples are the agreed are for the agreed purpose only, unless confirmed by the seller, which means that the buyer gave the seller a sample on the basis of which he found the alternative or he got it made. Now this new sample, that means the sample against which the product is to be given, are for the agreed purpose only, unless the seller confirms otherwise. Orders are binding only upon seller's written acceptance, which means that the seller has to agree to taking the order, to receiving the order, and accept to supplying. Unless there is an acceptance from the seller's side, the order cannot be considered binding upon the seller. Each delivery is a separate transaction for payment after acceptance. Every time that a delivery is made by a seller, it is to be considered a separate transaction and has to be paid after acceptance. Orders must be cancelled cannot be cancelled or rescheduled without seller's written consent, which means that once an order has been given to a seller, it cannot be cancelled or rescheduled unless the seller has agreed to it. The buyer assumes all risks and charges for cancellations or modifications. Once the buyer has given an order to the seller and he wants to cancel it or modify it, he will have to accept and assume all the risks and charges for such changes that he wants. The buyer acknowledges knowledge of the goods, products, and agrees to comply with safety procedures and health regulations, informing others of handling requirements and associated risks. What we are saying here is especially where there are certain special goods or products which require certain care and certain procedures for handling, especially safety products. Safety products in the sense maybe some nuclear waste or nuclear products or materials that are used for certain research and development purposes. The buyer acknowledges knowledge of the goods and products. That means he is aware of what kind of product he is handling or what kind of goods he is receiving, and agrees to comply with all the safety procedures and health regulations that he needs to based on his knowledge of the product and the goods. And he needs to inform all others of handling requirements and the associated risks so that everybody is well informed, is clear about what they are going to be handling in the coming future. Prices and taxes. Prices are invoiced, packaging is included, but GST, insurance and transport may not be, unless otherwise agreed. Buyer is responsible for any tax liabilities, penalties or interest. Transportation, insurance and taxes will be itemized on the invoice. Seller may change credit terms at any time. Prices and taxes. Most of the time, this is agreed to by both the parties right before they sign the purchase order or the contract. What are they? Prices are invoiced. Packaging is included, which means that packaging is that the product will be sold in a packaged condition is implied. But of course, the cost of that package is already included in the price that will come on the invoice. GST, insurance, and transport may not be unless otherwise agreed, which means that they may not be indicated on the invoice unless there has been a proper agreement. With the current GST rules, the GST invoice has to have the GST percentage and the amount specified and written on it. Buyer is responsible for any tax liabilities, penalties or interest. What this implies is that irrespective of where the seller is with the given condition today, where GST is applied, the buyer is responsible for any tax liabilities, penalties or interest from the time that their goods start from the buyer, from the seller's godown or the seller's warehouse right up to the buyer's required location. Transportation, insurance and taxes will be itemized on the invoice. Most of the time, transportation, insurance and taxes earlier were not itemized, but today they are itemized on the invoice or they are written as a total amount at the end on the invoice. However, this needs to be agreed to between the buyer and the seller. The seller may change credit terms at any time, which means that normally in all such transactions, it is the buyer and the seller who agree to the credit terms. However, once the seller is protected by this contract, he can change the credit terms at any time, which means he would be informing the buyer that the changed credit terms would apply from a certain invoice or a transaction. Payment and delivery. Payment terms including credit and discounts follow mutual agreement. Changes need written approval. Deliveries follow the agreed schedule. Any changes require written consent and apply to future orders. Payment terms, as we saw earlier, is included in the agreement, and the credit and discounts is also agreed at that point of time. they follow mutual agreement. Changes need written approval, which means that if there are changes in these terms, then they will be agreed to by both the parties. Delivery. Deliveries follow the agreed schedule. So this schedule may be agreed upon on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis depending on the two parties. However, once this schedule has been agreed to, deliveries will follow the agreed schedule. Unless changes are required, and such changes will be mutually agreed to by both the buyer and the seller. But they would apply only from the date that they get into this agreement for all future orders from starting from that date. Title and risk. Ownership and title pass to the buyer only upon full payment, including all additional costs, interest, charges, transportation, etc. Risk transfers to the buyer upon delivery. Title and risk. Let us understand the ownership and the title passed to the buyer only upon full payment, including all additional costs. That means the entire amount, including all taxes, interest, charges, whatever is otherwise applicable in terms of transportation insurance, all has been paid for by the buyer. Only then does he get the title with him. The risk, however, transfers to the buyer upon delivery, which means that as soon as the material is delivered at the location as specified by the buyer, the risk gets transferred from the seller to the buyer, irrespective of the time that the title passes to him, which is only after full payment. Limited warranty. Implied warranties align with the agreed quality document kept by both parties. Seller is responsible for correcting any defective items to meet buyer's quality standards. Limited warranty. Let's understand what limited warranty means. Implied warranties align with the agreed quality document kept by both parties. So when the agreement is being signed for a supply, both parties hold a common document, which is the quality document, which has the specifications and the other terms and conditions that the product is supposed to meet. Now this is kept by both the parties, and the implied warranties align with the agreed quality document. Seller is responsible for correcting any defective items to meet buyer's quality standards. This is very clear that the seller will ensure that the product that he is offering to the buyer, selling to the buyer, is free of defects. And if there are any defective items, he stands to correct them, because they must finally meet the quality standards as specified by the buyer. Limitation of liabilities. Buyer and supplier will define liability terms based on partnership and product type. Potential losses or lost profits, manufacturing costs, overheads, business interruption, data loss, reinstallation costs, goodwill costs, sales, production failure, and reputational damage. Let's look at what limitation of liabilities mean. Buyer and seller will define liability terms based on partnership and product type, which means that whatever is the agreement between the buyer and the seller, and the partnership or the relationship rather that the two have between the buyer and the seller, will determine define the liability terms. Of course, a lot will depend on the product type also. But it will be definitely different for perishable goods and those for non-perishable goods. Potential losses, lost profits. What are potential losses? Lost profits, manufacturing costs, overheads, business interruption, data loss, reinstallation costs, goodwill loss, sales, production failure, and reputational damage. All this is considered as potential losses for the buyer or the seller. Limitation of liabilities. Buyers are not liable for punitive damages, IPR infringement, or any indirect or consequential damages from breach of warranty, contract, misrepresentation, or negligence. Limitation of liabilities. Buyers are not liable for punitive damages, which means that it is the seller who has to ensure that the products are without any damages and there is no infringement of the IPR. IPR is intellectual property rights, or any indirect or consequent damages from breach of warranty, contract, misrepresentation, or negligence. All these are responsibilities of the seller, because it is the seller who is transferring the title after the goods have been paid for. Use of products. Products are manufactured and packed per the buyer's specifications or standard seller practices. Seller's liability is limited to the intended purpose as specified by the buyer. No liability for damages or failures unless proven the product was defective. Whenever a product is being purchased by a buyer, there is a purpose of use of that product. Products are manufactured and packed per the buyer's specifications, or they may be as standard packaging as per the seller's practices, which means almost we see in the market all branded products come in their standard packages. They are not specified or they are not changed as per buyer's requirements. Seller's liability is limited to the intended purpose or specified by the buyer, which means that the seller has to ensure that he meets the purpose of use as specified by the buyer. There cannot be any liability on the seller for damages or failures unless proven that the product was defective. So only if the product is defective as it was received from the seller is the liability of the seller for the damages or failures which are due to the product defective. Force majeure. Seller is not liable for failure or delays in fulfilling obligations due to causes beyond control, including acts of God, natural disasters, strikes, war, epidemics, government actions, and other force majeure events. Since it is the responsibility of the seller to supply the goods to the buyer, the force majeure is more applicable to him. Seller is not liable for failure or delays in fulfilling those obligations of sales to the buyer. The obligations could be because of, there could be a delay in fulfilling obligations due to causes beyond control, and that is known as force majeure, which includes cost of acts of God, natural disasters, strikes, war, epidemics, government actions, and other events. Force majeure. In a force majeure event, seller's performance time will be extended as agreed, considering damages. Seller may cancel remaining orders without penalty with written notice to buyer. Classic case of what is happening currently with the Chennai storm, or which has happened in the past at Chennai also, where a seller's performance is extended, or the time limit for his deliveries is extended by the buyer because of the damages or because of the weather conditions. The seller, if he realizes that he is not able to cope up with the requirements of the buyer, may cancel the remaining orders without any penalty, but with written notice and information to the buyer. Now, in this situation, the buyer is in a very precarious condition where he has to meet requirements of his customer or of the plant for which he is buying the material. However, the situation is a force majeure situation which is beyond the control of both the buyer as well as the seller.